in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That is towards the end of 1 Corinthians 15, but we are reading in beginning in verse 12 this morning. Third message from this great chapter called the resurrection chapter. And the question becomes this morning, what would happen if there was no resurrection? Now, let me just make sure that I get you to understand, there is a resurrection. Amen. There was a bodily resurrection of Christ. And because of His bodily resurrection, we too shall be raised bodily. Not just spiritually, but bodily. So I want to preach on this subject this morning. Bodily resurrection is vital. Beginning in verse 12, the Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be," so here's the question, what would happen if there's no resurrection? "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Now, I do believe that Paul loves sarcasm, and there's a little bit right there. "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, you will die and go to hell." That doesn't say that, but the implication is there. Verse 18, because it goes on to say, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Do you know why the world is miserable? Do you know why the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis and you talk to, they're miserable because they're yet in their sins. They're not been forgiven of their sins. They're not saved. And my friend, this world stinks. But this is not all there is. If you have Christ as your Savior, and if all we had was this world, we would be miserable people. But we have more than that. We have salvation in Jesus Christ. I want to preach this morning on several subjects. But really, the idea is, what would it be like, or what would happen? Where would we be? What would the situation entail if there was no resurrection? Father, we love You. Thank You for the Word of God this morning. We do pray that You would take this passage of Scripture plus what we've already learned from this great resurrection chapter. We pray, Lord, that we might understand exactly what You are saying to us today. But at the end, might we see the positive aspect, knowing that there was the resurrection of Christ, and 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter, and the Bible does tell us we shall be changed, and this corruptible that we live in now will one day put on incorruption. And we understand, because of the resurrection, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if a person is saved. God, I pray today that if there's someone here without Christ and they've not fully allowed the resurrection truth into their life, that today they would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, we know, of course, it's very, very evident that we are in the New Testament when we're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But we would also make sure that we understand something, that when Paul made mention, based upon the Scriptures, he believed in the resurrection, he was really talking about many times the Old Testament and according to the Scriptures. So with that in mind, I would say this, that the Old Testament Scriptures teach a resurrection. All right? Now, while it is in a more limited degree than the New Testament, the resurrection becomes the foundation of the Christian faith. It is the foundation of the gospel. We don't have any trouble in believing in a death and a burial, because we know that takes place on a daily basis. But what people do sometimes have a trouble with is the resurrection. Now, Bible believers and people that are saved have no problem in believing the resurrection, because you can't be saved without believing in the resurrection. In fact, it is a part of the gospel. And that's why in the first part of this chapter, Paul said, according to the scriptures, how that Christ died according to the scriptures, how that Christ was buried according to the scriptures, how that Christ raised from the dead according to the scriptures. But the Old Testament still teaches a resurrection. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 19, for instance, Job was able to say in chapter 19 and verse 26, he said this, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." That would not be possible without a resurrection body. When Ezekiel saw the vision of the dry bones coming to life in Ezekiel chapter 37, it was a picture of Israel being restored. But in that chapter, there is also a picture of a resurrected body, when he talks about how the body comes together with those dry bones. Daniel described the resurrection in Daniel 12 and verse 2 by saying this, and I quote, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." That couldn't happen without a resurrection. Now, the New Testament, on the other hand, while the Old Testament would not have as much dogma in the Old Testament, even though it does have the truth of the resurrection, the New Testament is full of resurrection truth. In fact, the foundation of salvation is that Jesus Christ overcame death, hell, the grave, and rose from the dead. He only needed the borrowed tomb for 3 days and three nights. Just in my Bible reading this morning through the book of Mark, I was once again confronted with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my friend, I am still a Bible believer. I believe the Bible. And just as we learned in Sunday school, you don't need the Bible to prove history, but it always lines up with history, because the Bible is always true. History's what gets skewed sometimes, not the Bible. Notice what Jesus said in John 6:44. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." All right? So he says, no man is able to be saved except the Father which has sent me draw him. And then those that are saved, he would go on to say, "And I will raise him up in the last day." That's resurrection. That's not just a spiritual resurrection. That is a bodily resurrection. Now, in John chapter 11, Jesus had been away from Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and we know that the Bible teaches us that Lazarus died. Lazarus died, and Jesus, knowing that he died, stayed where he was for a little more time, just so that everybody would understand the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And when he shows up to Mary and Martha's house, Jesus begins a conversation with Martha after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And here's what he said to her. He said to Martha, "Now Martha, thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall raise again in the resurrection at the last day." See, Martha knew resurrection truth. She understood the teaching that Jesus Christ had made it very clear that there would be the resurrection in the last day. But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That is resurrection truth. And then he goes on to say there, and this is found in John 11, 23 through 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now, I want you to understand, it was at that point that Jesus went and said, "Roll back the stone." And they said, "Master, it's been 4 days," like Jesus didn't know how long it had been. And he said, "Roll back the stone." And then he cried out, Lazarus come forth. And then he said, loose him from his grave clothes, if you would. And Lazarus rose from the dead. You know what? Now, Lazarus died again. We understand that. But only God can raise the dead. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead, died no more. At his ascension, he went to be to the right hand of God the Father, and there he makes intercession for you and I. Now, the Old Testament teaches a bodily resurrection. The Gospels teach a bodily resurrection. The apostles, including Paul and over 500 brethren, according to what we've already looked at in 1 Corinthians 15, were eyewitnesses of the bodily resurrection. Listen to me. If you went to a court of law, there would be no way that it would not be proven that the resurrection was real. Yet it seemed, now listen to this, and even though there's 500 brethren, and Paul said, and some of them are still alive, you can go and ask them, Paul's witnessed the resurrection of Christ. Peter, John, James, some had already died, but they all were eyewitnesses. That means with the eyeball, they saw the risen Savior. In Mark, they were told by Mary. Isn't it amazing that Mary Magdalene was one of the first people to meet Jesus? She saw Jesus as in the resurrection. She came to the tomb. He met with her. Mary Magdalene was probably one of the very first people that Jesus ever did a miracle on. And the Bible doesn't even record that fact. We just know that the Bible says that she was taken seven demons out of her. And when she shows up in the New Testament, she's already free of those demons. So it's very likely that Jesus, before even his earthly ministry or before he became known, before he was healing and doing the things, he healed Mary, took seven demons out of her. And he met with her. They're one of the first people, and she worshiped. There's an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm just telling you that even though all of these people saw the risen Savior, we come to the book of Corinthians, we read about a church who it seemed that maybe some people in the church were questioning the resurrection. Now that's found in verse number 12 where it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how in the world would anybody be able to say in this church there's no resurrection of the dead? So if I was to... Now here's what I do believe. I believe this is the possibility because there were religious leaders that had come in and corrupted people just like they did in the area of Galatia. In the area of Galatia, Paul had to write the book of Galatians to set them straight that you cannot be saved by works. You are not saved by good works. You're not saved by circumcision. You are not saved by baptism. You are not saved because of who you are. You're not saved by your pedigree. You're not saved because of where you grew up. You're not saved because of who you are. You are saved by the grace of God. And you are saved through Jesus Christ and Him alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works. Because if it were works, lest any man should be able to boast. And I know I added a little bit there, but you can't be saved by works. But yet there was those Judaizers that had come in and said, "Oh yeah, you got to have faith, but you also got to have works." The Sadducees, who was the other group of the religious leaders outside of the Pharisees, because we know that Jesus dealt mostly with the Pharisees, but did you know that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection? They were liberal. They were liberal in that sin. And I know I've always said this, they didn't believe in a resurrection, so they were sad, you see. They were a group that did not believe in the resurrection. They could have influenced some people in the church. There was the Greek influence that did not believe in the bodily resurrection because we are reminded that when Paul was on Mars Hill and he was preaching in Athens, that when he began to preach to them the resurrection of Jesus Christ, many of them mocked him and they laughed at him. Now, wherever this false teaching was coming from, the Bible is truth. The Bible is full of resurrection truth. Now, I want to show you something before we move into our text today. In verse number 1, it says this of 1 Corinthians 15. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul said, when I went to Corinth, I went there after Athens. I went in fear and trembling. I went there determined that nobody would know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you got crucifixion, you got death, and you got burial, and you got resurrection. And Jesus and Paul said, that's what I went and preached. And you know what? People believed, and people got saved. Then he said this in verse number 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. But yet, there's this element. I'm telling you, elements can false doctrine can come into a church so easy that it's unbelievable. And the reason I know this, I've pastored for 32 years. And there are people that can sit under the preaching of the Word of God week after week, but they always get sideways when they move away from the Bible and they start reading somebody that writes something that's not in the Bible, whatever that might be. And today it's the Bible and it's Calvinism. There's all kinds of isms. I'm laying it. There's humanism. There's humanism. There's this ism. There's that. It's always an ism. Just like in the Old Testament, it was always a night. You couldn't get away from them Jebusites and them Moabites and them. They're ites everywhere. Well, today there's isms everywhere. Stay with the Bible. You can't become a Calvinist by reading the Bible. And listen, I hold in my hand, I preach from the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I believe that I believe it from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I believe in the English version called the King James Bible. Amen. I will never apologize for that. Amen. Our church has been here for 55 years. We still believe the Bible. There's still people's lives that are changed by the preaching of the Word of God. But when you start reading other books, there's people go sideways all the time. Isms come into the church. Well, guess what? It came into the church at Corinth. There was false things that came up. One of them was somebody said, well, I don't know about this resurrection of the body. Well, let me just tell you, Christ raised from the dead. Now, I don't know where this false teaching came from. I don't know if it was from the Sadducees or some Greek influence. But Paul said this, I preached, you believed, you got saved. And if we go back to chapter 6, and such were some of you. And he begins to give a litany of people that got saved out of different wicked things in their life. But Paul is now asking the question, listen in verse number 12, I believe Paul is actually saying, how can you logically deny the truth of the resurrection? That's why he said in verse 12, now if Christ be preached and he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Paul's asking this, how can you logically deny the truth of the resurrection? Well, that'd be like asking today, how can you logically deny that there's only two genders? How could you logically deny the creation story of the Bible? My friend, the creation story of the Bible is more logical than evolution. You got to have a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than you do in the creation. And by the way, you'll never figure out where DNA come from unless you believe in creation. And you'll never believe in the law of thermodynamics unless you believe in creation. Now, don't get me saying big, long words here now. I'll blow your mind here if I say something else. So in the same thought process, why is it that the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and then later on our bodily resurrection, why is it so important? Well, Paul's going to use the negative aspect of it by saying, well, what would happen? What would it be like? Where would we be if there was no resurrection? He said if there was no resurrection, first of all, in verse 13, he would say, if there's no resurrection, then Christ wouldn't be risen. Boy, that's profound. If there was no such thing, if there was no resurrection, then Christ would not be risen. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So that means that Jesus Christ would still be dead. Problem is, he's not in the tomb because he did raise from the dead. And he showed himself as an eyewitness to many. But let's just take this negative aspect, and we'll take other negative aspects, probably 7 or 8 of them that is spoken here. But if, let's take the negative aspect and say, well, then Christ is not risen. If there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Then you know what that means? That means Jesus was just a man. And means that he wasn't God. That's what it would mean. Jesus' resurrection was just it would line up with those who believe in soul sleep or those who believe in spiritual. Oh, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Just spiritual. No. Bodily. It was a bodily resurrection. Now, there are those today that teach a soul sleep, which teaches that the soul sleeps and the body dies and the soul rests. No, my friend, to be absent from the body, this is what the Bible says. And he's talking about a person who's been saved. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So the implication is very clear that if you're not saved, to be absent from the body is to go to hell. But you're not. Your body dies and is placed in a grave or cremated or whatever it might be. I want to be put in the ground so that I can come up right there in that spot. You say, well, what about people with cremate? Well, God can put it all back together. Don't get any. But I just want to, even though the worm shall destroy my body, yet shall I see God. Amen. Job said that. So I'm just saying to you, there are those that teach reincarnation. There are those that teach soul sleep. There are those that teach annihilation. There are those that teach when you die, it's over. No. To be absent from the body is to be somewhere else. Either in heaven with Jesus Christ or in hell. Others teach a reincarnation. Think about that, where the soul is recycled from one form to the next. And in countries like India, where there's many gods and many beliefs, there are people who allow the animals to run freely because they think grandma might came back as a cow. Now we said in a church where we've been taught the truth, and we're like, that is, my grandkids, like, that's hilarious. But do you realize there's people that believe that? Now, somebody has taught that false religion that you come back as a cow. Grandma coming back as a cow. So they let the cows run all over the place. You know, all these teach a human personhood. It doesn't matter if it's reincarnation, if it's soul sleep, if it's recycled. They're all teaching that the human personhood and the individuality of a person are forever lost at death, and it's not. My friend, you are who you are now, and that's who you'll be. That's who you'll be tomorrow, and that's who you'll be 100 years from now. But here's what I love is that I got saved by the grace of God, and even though my body will be put in the ground, listen, I can't get to chapter verse 58 and verse 52, but the Bible makes it very clear, for this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall one day put on immortality. Then, as Jesus said, we'll be as the angels in heaven, not given into marriage, but we'll be in a different form. Jesus Christ, when he raised from the dead, he was in a body, but it was a glorified body. I'm looking forward to that. Glorified body. No sin. No back pains. No neck pains. No organ pains. No whatever pains that you don't even know what that... No COVID pains. Praise God, there'll be no COVID pains. But I'm telling you, all of those false religions teach that the individual person is really lost. Plato, who was very... influential in the time that the Bible was written, or when Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, taught a dualism, meaning this: everything spiritual was good and everything physical was evil. Now you could understand where Plato might would come in. It's just not true though. to die. Here's what pluralism teaches. To say that everything spiritual is good and everything physical is evil means that the physical body was evil, and so if we were to die, then we're going to escape all of our pain. We're going to escape everything. And they looked at the body as just like an encasement of evil. Oh, and we'll die, we'll escape that. No, that is the lie of the devil himself. Because he knows that if you die without Christ, there will be no escape from the punishment of God. But the Bible makes it clear after you die, you'll still live. I thought you said die. Yeah, your body dies, but your spirit and your soul live on. And the Bible makes that very clear. Either when you die, you will either die to everlasting damnation or to everlasting life. And the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ makes that possible. If Christ was not risen, then we would not be able to be risen. He also goes on to say this in the negative aspect. So why is it important? If there is no resurrection, Christ is not risen. If there is no resurrection, the preaching of the gospel would be meaningless. Coming to church would be futile. Look at verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. We know that the very heart of the gospel is the resurrection. A changed life is proof that the resurrection and the gospel is not vain. My life is proof. Because I know who I was before I got saved, and I know who my wife was before she got saved. And we are not the same people. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you understand what I'm talking about. Changed life is proof of the resurrection. Apart from the resurrection, Jesus could not have conquered sin or death or hell, and all of those evils would forever be man's conqueror. Without the resurrection, the good news would be bad news, and there would be nothing worth preaching about or for. Without the resurrection, the gospel would be empty, the gospel would be hopeless, and the gospel would be meaningless. But you know what? The Bible teaches us when Paul said, "Preach the word." Be instant in season, out of season. Take the Word of God and expose it and expound it and preach it. And you know what will happen? People will make a choice to be saved or they'll reject. But if they get saved, their life will be different. Praise God. Your life can be different if you're not saved. You say, "Man, I got all this stuff in me. I have all this anxiety in me." Listen, the gospel brings the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I'm just telling you, preaching would be zero. There'd be no reason for it. You know, you go to some churches and they don't preach. You know why? Because they ain't got no hope. And preaching is not teaching. Preaching is exposing the Bible that people may make a decision. But I'm telling you, without the resurrection, there is nothing to preach. Unless Jesus conquered sin and death by raising from the dead, there would be no gospel to proclaim. There would be no reason to read our Bible. There'd be no reason to go to church. And listen, COVID has taught us how important it is to be in church. Absolutely. No doubt about it. So, if there was no resurrection, then Christ would not be risen. If there was no resurrection, preaching would be vanity. If there was no resurrection, faith in Christ would be worthless. There'd be no reason to have faith in Christ. A dead Savior could not give life. If you think about the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it'd be the hall of the foolish if there was no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, all preachers would be liars. Verse number 15. Yea, and if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. To deny the resurrection, I want you to think about this. To deny the resurrection would be to deny the eyewitness of Peter and James, the apostles, Paul, 500 brethren. He would say, they're all liars. Now you can get several, you can get liars. Boy, there are liars, 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 liars. Pants on fires, fires, fires. In fact, I think it would be awesome if when somebody lies, their pants caught fire. then you'd be going, oh, I think you're lying. And if you're a lady, your dress catch on fire. But if there's no resurrection, all preachers would be liars. Peter and James and John and isn't it amazing that the preacher, there's old-timey preachers that still preaching the same thing that people preached 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 75 years ago, but all of a sudden young men want to come along and have something new. There's nothing new. The Bible is just as new. And by the way, the Bible is just as relevant today as it's always been. If you went to court and a lawyer brought up 500 witnesses of the same thing, I think that'd prove it. How about this? If there was no resurrection of the dead, all men would still be in their sin. Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, hey, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Now, I'm glad to know 100% sure that my faith is not vain, that it's real. But if there was no resurrection, then our faith would be vain. Believers would be no better off than unbelievers. In fact, that means sin and death win. There's no victory, no hope. If Jesus remained dead, then we would remain dead. But yet the purpose of trusting Christ is the forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and we're saved from our sins. However, we know that He did rise from the dead and that our faith is solid. And Paul would write to the Romans in Romans 4, verse 25, 24 and 25. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Justification is a lawyer term, is a judicial term, means just as if we had never sinned. You know what that means? That means when we went to court, Jesus paid for it. He stood before as our judge and as our lawyer, and He said, forgiven, just as if you'd never sinned. How about this? If there was no resurrection of the dead, then all former Christians would have eternally perished already. Verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What an awful thought. Of every person we've ever done a funeral for, to think that they would be perished, even though we know they had faith in Christ, they had a changed life, everything was new, they testified, we read their favorite Bible verse, we know their testimony, we know what they believed, we know we saw what God did in their life. Oh, listen, hey, God is good. There is a resurrection. But if there wasn't, every funeral that I've done in the last 21 years at Berean Baptist Church would have been for nothing. Every person that we've done a funeral for would be lost forever. But we simply know that's not true. And Paul said, how in the world can you say there's no resurrection of dead with all the proof that we had? I'll tell you another thing. Without the resurrection, verse 19 says, we'd be the most pitiful people on the face of the earth. Verse number 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. We know this ain't the end. We know that based upon the truth of the Scriptures. Without the resurrection and the salvation we have with the blessings of being saved. People say, you're a young 61. Have you ever seen an old 61? I have. I mean, I've actually said this to my wife. Did you see that guy? He's 62. Do I look that old? Seriously, do I look that old? And so far, she said, no. I can't believe that Roger Rabe is 79 years old. This is no lie. I'm thinking, when's that guy going to retire? He's like 68 or 69. How old are you, Brother Roger? 79. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, 48. When I was young, I was like 18 years old, and I could still get into the movie theater with a 12-year-old ticket. And I hated it. Now I like it. But you know what? You know what an old 61 is? An old 61 means people that are engulfed in sin, smoke cigarettes, abuse their body, and you look on them and they're like, man, they look as old as like John Stever. They should be like 85. The reason I use John is he can't hear. He can't hear. He's just back there going, yeah, that's right, preacher, whatever you said. Without the resurrection, we have no Savior. Without the resurrection, we have no forgiveness of sin. Without resurrection, we have no gospel. Can I say this? Without the resurrection, we wouldn't have any meaning. We wouldn't have any meaning to our life. People commit suicide. I just reading in Japan. Of course, the Olympics are over there. I was reading that. Many, many, many young people commit suicide in Japan. And more people have committed suicide since COVID. These are facts that are going on. You know why people commit suicide? Because they don't have no hope. They don't have no meaning of life. They don't have no forgiveness of sins. Listen, no matter what adversity, no matter what trial, no matter what you go through, what temptation it might be, listen, we have hope in Christ. And the reason we have hope in Christ is because of the resurrection. That would mean if there was no resurrection, there'd be no meaning to our faith. There'd be no reason to trust. There'd be no life or no hope. That would mean our teaching and our preaching. Oh, listen to this. It would mean that our suffering and our sacrifice and the work that we do for the gospel's sake would mean nothing. And we know that simply is just not true. Now, let me just say this as a personal testimony. As a child of God, I have salvation. I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I owe my everything to my Savior. In fact, I'll go on the record as saying, I don't even belong to myself. There's things I'll say, Lord, I'd like to do this. And He'll say, no, you belong to me. You have to do this. Everybody with me? We would be in a bad spot if it were not for the resurrection. But let me say this. So Paul is negative in verse 12. He's negative in verse 13. He's negative in verse 14. He's negative in verse 15. These are the negative aspects of what it would be like if there was no resurrection. He continues to be negative in 16. He continues to be negative in 17 and 18 and 19. And you go, that's where we're stopping. No, we're not. Because look at verse 20. Verse 20 is a hallelujah. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept. You know what that means? Because He rose from the dead, we shall rise from the dead. And that's why the song that was sung today tells us down in 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, verse 54 says, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that's the resurrection, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then he would say this in verse number 58, by the time I preach this, you'll forget that I quoted it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Why? Resurrection. Amen. Resurrection. Are you saved? If you are, it's because of the resurrection. If it's not, you need to be saved before it's too late. Let's all stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank You for showing us how important the resurrection is, the bodily resurrection of Christ. And I just love verse number 20 that tells us that because of the resurrection of Christ, we too shall be raised from the dead. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. this mortal body shall put on immortality. And then there'll be a day when death will be swallowed up in victory. Oh God, death surrounds us today. It's everywhere. But it's only temporary. And I pray, Lord, that we might understand the vital importance of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because He is the first fruits and He is the first to raise from the dead and never to die again, we too shall be able to be raised at the last day. Save the lost, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 274, Brother Brian's going to lead us in, Lord, I'm coming home. Not a long invitation. Your decision must be made very quickly.